You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. All right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
As we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
Time we're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
Winning the SEC probably is harder than winning the national championship. Do you know that?
Well, how about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
That's my language. Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee Homer?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Hey, getting fired up. We're only 60 days as we sit here and record this. 60 days from the scheduled start of the SEC football season, and I know nobody quite knows how it's going to go, but man, even just, you know, getting down to 2 months' time has just got me more fired up than usual.
Absolutely, man, and I'll tell you, going back to the countdown, if you're listening to us, it's day 59, so you get to see the great comeback. Was it 2014, Texas A&M, Arkansas, fantastic game. Arkansas blew that game. They got down there almost in the red zone, fumbled the ball, and then ended up just pissing it away and missed the field goal and let Texas A&M come back in. Johnny Manziel's excited on the sideline. You know, it was a hell of a ball game. But Mike asked me, is this have anything to do with number 60 punt return against Tennessee and Arkansas? What's his name?
Joe Adams.
Joe Adams, one of the greatest kick returners, punt returners ever play football. And I'll never forget watching that damn game, man, with Derek Dooley on the sideline. And I watched him dodge like 25 people. I mean, people were coming off the sideline. I mean, we probably had, I don't know, 18 on the field. It didn't matter. That guy was not going to be stopped. He scores a touchdown. And at that moment, Mike, I realized that this is the lowest I've ever been in college football. I mean, you know, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, the 90s, Johnny Majors. Then we got Philip Fulmer. Then we win a national championship. And then to go from all that good stuff, 10-win seasons, to seeing that in Arkansas and knowing that that guy right there is faster than anybody on our team. I mean, you could go 10 deep in that roster and find 10 more people on Arkansas's team faster than – I mean, we were just so slow. And I hit rock bottom, Mike. That was a tough game. So, no, number 59 had nothing to do with Arkansas. It was just coincidence. I stumbled across it. So, but I do love these countdowns, man, because it's a constant reminder of all the great games that we took for granted, man. Because, you know, even you know, some of the games that we had last year, you know, that you may not even like the Egg Bowl and the Florida LSU game, Auburn, Alabama, you know, these games that just, I love the countdown. It reminds me of how much I love college football. So we got to have it. Power of positive thinking, Mike. We're going to have college football this year.
Absolutely. I mean, in one way or another, it's going to happen. Who knows when and where it's going to start. But, you know, if you think about some of the possibilities, I think at this point, it may even look something more regionally based, which I wouldn't be opposed to that. Imagine, you know, years down the line, we got several Georgia Clemson battles upcoming. They may have to face off this year, you know, because you're looking at Georgia's schedule. Maybe they can't play Virginia or, right, you know, a team like that. And maybe we get Florida, Miami got to play, and Tennessee, North Carolina. I mean, who knows how this is going to shake out, but it's probably going to be in your bus vicinity if anything's on lockdown. So I think we're going to have some great matchups either way you look at it. And hell, we might even get some extra SEC games in there. So as long as we get the games and everyone's safe, you know, I don't care how they do it. I'm just fired up for it.
Dude, me too. And I would venture to say if we did just conference games where we could play more of the conference teams, we may have better games this year than we would have if the schedules would have stayed normal. Not saying that they're going to change. We're not saying that. But I truly believe that we're going to have college football. And I think part of the plans, something that he was talking about the other day, it may come down to just conference play. But when it boils down to it, the SEC is the best conference in the country, you know, so we're going to see the best games every Saturday. So I'm really looking forward to, no matter what product they put on the field, Mike, I will not complain. I promise you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got an interesting show lineup. We got a little bit of a mailbag here that's going to take up most of the show, but we got a couple just real quick hitters around the SEC. You ready to go around the league?
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
At Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys! Hey! I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you!
All right, I wanted to start here. Jordan-Hare Stadium, of course, on the plains there at Auburn. Because them Tigers, Shane, they've got the LED lights installed at Jordan-Hare. And I just wanted to make that note because I love these things. We saw Alabama and Georgia. I think they both introduced those last year. Now Auburn's following their lead. And if anyone's missed it out there, there's pictures of Jordan-Hare all lit up under blue. And, you know, if you don't got these lights, you're falling behind because...
Yeah.
I mean, just the atmosphere and the scene they make. You got to think that this is coming to basically every SEC stadium as soon as they can get these lights installed, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely, Mike. I mean, it's just a matter of time before it's at every stadium, you know. And now it's at the point, it's like, you don't want to be the fourth kid at your high school with the new pair of Jordans, you know what I'm saying? It's like... Let's do it now, but maybe not come out and make a big scene like Auburn did. Just make it sound like you've always had it. You know, I think that's what we'll see. Maybe just surprise us during a ball game. That would be even better, I think.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. And because I've already seen, you know, so many Alabama fans were like, well, look what little brother did. It's like, they didn't invent lights down in Alabama. Let me tell you, you know, there's no way. But I could see why they would say that, but they jumped to that conclusion. But I just love these night games. And now we got another fan base. They can get fired up for not having a night game because they want to show off their lights. You know what?
Absolutely, man. It's I'm telling you, recruiting, competitive edge, you got to do whatever it takes, man. Just shows you how much money the SEC still has.
Exactly. All right, let's jump on down to Baton Rouge real quick.
It's my honor to present the national championship trophy to Coach Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers.
Where, just wanted to make this quick note. You know, nothing's official. I don't like to spend a ton of time on recruiting because who knows if these kids are even going to sign and qualify and what they turn out to be. But, you know, I think it's worth noting that LSU all of a sudden has just went on a recruiting tear. They got the number 6 ranked class in the nation right now. And why I'm really even wanting to bring this up is because everyone in front of them's got more commits than them. Some teams significantly more commits. So LSU, it looks like, you know, they may not have the nation's number 1 class, but it's in range. So you got to think you know, success on the football field. Obviously, that translates to recruiting, and that's what they've done here in just the last couple days. Wanted to make these references. They landed one of the top receivers in the nation, Chris Hilton. He's from Louisiana. They land, who's a four-star. Naquan Brown, defensive end for Virginia, also committed here in recent days. And then Keanu Kiot, another defensive end from Florida. And from what I understand, they've got two or three other borderline five-star receivers there from the state of Louisiana on the cusp of committing to LSU. And that's in addition to a couple of five-star linemen that they're after that are kind of trending towards LSU's way. So just wanted to stay up to date here with our recruiting information, because this is what you want to see under Ed Orgeron. You don't want to be a one-year flash, win the national championship, and then we go the way of like a Gene Chizik at Auburn, where it was a flash in the pan just because we had this amazing quarterback. But it looks like this program's really got some staying power. And like I said, it's impressive because they've got the most room in the top 10 to improve, because they've got fewer commits than the vast majority of the teams here.
Absolutely. And again, it's early. You know, I got excited when Tennessee got all those recruits, and now I'm, I don't know, we're in, what, multiple threads where we're reminded daily that one's about to decommit, you know? So it's just like, let's just hold off. When is the first signing day? Is it November?
It'll be mid-December.
Mid-December, okay. That's about end of November is when we should start really worrying about this thing. But I know there's a lot of LSU fans extremely happy. They do got a lot of talent right now. I mean, if they were to sign today, I think LSU'd be extremely happy with that class.
Mm-hmm. All right, next thing on the docket here is let's jump on down to Nashville real quick.
Take it down.
You know, we had a bit of an explosive story here in the Tennessean. I want to give this guy credit because he's an outstanding reporter there here in Nashville for the Tennessean. But his name's Adam Sparks, is reporting essentially that former Vanderbilt linebacker Charles Wright, who back in 2018 expelled from school, but they allowed him to remain on the team. And the reason for him getting expelled, they had a sexual assault allegation. And for anyone that doesn't know how these situations are handled, when they happen on campus, and this is across the board, this isn't just Vanderbilt, but they have the university police investigate it. And then if criminal charges, you know, are want to be pursued, you take it to the local authorities. And the Vanderbilt investigators found probable cause here, so that's why he got expelled, but there was no criminal charges. So very important to note, Charles Wright, no criminal charges against him. But where the issue is, his accuser was one of the Vanderbilt training staff members, and they allowed him to remain, you know, in the facility and train for the NFL. And they got Derek Mason on record saying, why is your senior linebacker not playing? He said it was an injury. That's what the Vanderbilt website said for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And after this story came out, Vanderbilt website took that down real quick. So main reason I wanted to bring this up, we weren't convicting Charles Wright, or we're not certainly not calling out his accuser by any means. But the reality of the situation here is Vanderbilt is in a spot here with Derek Mason where they gave him an extension just over about a year ago. And then he's coming off here a 3-9 season, and as bad as Vanderbilt's looked, you know, we've had Vanderbilt insiders on this show saying there's not much movement there in Nashville to get rid of Coach Mason. He's got a large buyout after that extension, and this is just something to keep in mind here. This is something to consider because, you know, these sexual assault charges and how you handle them and all this, I mean, this is a very serious subject. And I think there's going to be an investigation here of why they're having a football player around, not only back, you know, in the facility, but around his accuser. I think that's something that Derek Mason is going to have to answer for. And he's not said anything since this story's come out last week. And you think back, this wasn't even last season. It was 2 seasons ago. He's coming off, like I said, a terrible season. They gave him this extension, can't afford his buyout. This is how people get fired. And they don't get their buyout for scandalous stuff in their program. So not saying that this will certainly be used against Derek Mason, but it's something to consider. And I'm just putting the pieces together here. And I don't know. I think this is a very interesting story. This is not one you want if you're Vanderbilt, obviously.
Well, obviously. But is this still a thing you can bet on, Mike? First coach to get fired in the SEC?
I believe it is.
Because I'd be moving some money right about meow, because the fact that he hasn't come out and said anything about it worries me. You know, that makes me think that someone above Mason is working up a statement right now, you know, or maybe it's Mason's lawyer. I don't know. I don't know exactly how this is going to play out, but if it shows, I would imagine if it does come out officially that he neglected to do his part, I mean, that's an automatic out of contract deal, right? I mean,
right. And that's the whole point where I'm not saying this information came from Vanderbilt, like they tipped off Adam Sparks, but I wouldn't.
But look how old it is, man. This is, like you said, I mean, this wasn't something that happened last season. You know, this mm-hmm. is something that they've held in their back pocket for a while. Or maybe they've come through, you know, they got the new AD up there. Maybe he's looking and saying, okay, well, how can we get it? Because I want to bring my guy in. You know, the AD always wants to bring his guy in. So I don't know. I'm just curious how this is going to play out, Mike.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of unanswered questions, but certainly not a time. And Vanderbilt does open the season against Mercer, Shane, so that should be a win. But after that, they go to Missouri, to Kansas State, Colorado State, which that should be a win too, but maybe not, at Georgia, Ole Miss, at Kentucky. I mean, it's not like he's got any layups here coming out the gate either. So just a rough time here in I mean, he's going to need some wins to get this heat off his shoulders. You know what?
For sure. Vanderbilt got them new lights yet? Just kidding. Just kidding.
All right, Shane, you want to kick it over to the mailbag?
Yeah, let's do it, buddy.
It's here. Listen up. It's time for mail call.
Don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer it. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
My turn, what do you got?
Okay, here we go. What color is a fire truck?
Oh, God, I always get these. Okay, all right, fire truck. Fire truck. What color are those red fire trucks?
All right, so this comes, from one of our listeners here in one of our review section here, but this comes from BFair90. We touched on this last week, but I just thought this was a great question and one that would kind of fit this time where we need something to talk about here. But BFair90 asked us, which way is each SEC team trending? Are they rising, falling, or holding steady? So let's just go, you know, team by team here. Break it down. We'll each give our thoughts on it. Sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds great, man. Let's do it.
All right. Obviously, Alabama under Nick Saban. I mean, he's been there, it seems like, 50 years. But I think in reality, it's been about 11. But coming off an 11-2 season, they just won the Citrus Bowl over Michigan. But any listener of this podcast is going to not be surprised. I think that program is falling. It's not to say that Alabama, I mean, they're still going to contend for the SEC. They got so much talent. They got the greatest college football coach of all time, in my opinion. It's not like they're going to, I'm not saying they're going to fall off a ledge here, but I don't have them winning the West. I don't think they're going to have a ton of national championship and SEC championships in their future. And I guess it's more of just a product of, you know, being at the peak of the sport for so long. I mean, there's really almost no way you can match that. There's no way you could say they're rising, but I'm going with falling here. What about you?
I'm going to go the opposite, man. I think they're rising. Ooh. I think it's crazy for me to say 11-2 is a disappointing season, but it was. You know, a lot of Bama fans knew that this was the time that Saban's going to get yet another national ring. He had Tua. He has all those weapons around him. But the fact of the matter is, Mike, I think the defense gets better. I think the offense doesn't take a step back. You know, a lot of people are thinking about all these guys that went to the NFL. I think the wide receiver core, I think the running back situation is going to be a lot better this year.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on record saying Mac Jones is a good quarterback, not just a serviceable one. I honestly think that this is the year that Alabama gets back on top and wins yet another national championship. That's where I'm at right now with them. So, no, I don't think they're falling back just yet. I think this is the year. Saban doesn't like that analogy being on the peak of the mountain. You know, he's one of those guys that wins a natty and doesn't celebrate. He's on to the next season. I think that this is, you know, a lot of people had considered last year as a revenge season. I don't think so, man. I think it's this year, and I think a lot of people are overlooking the Crimson Tide.
Gonna have to change your name to Big Crimson Shane.
No, it's not that. It's just I look at that roster, man. I how can you look at that roster and say that this isn't? I mean, it's coached by the best coach in the SEC. You know, I think the fact of the matter is they've got a returning offensive coordinator. You don't know how big that is. You know, I think the fact that you've got a lot of this unhealthy situation that you kind of limped into last season, you're not going to be doing it this season. I think this roster top to bottom is the most talented roster in the SEC, and I just can't see them not competing for a national championship. Or let's just say the West at least, you know, since we're talking SEC. So I'm going to say on the rise, Alabama.
Okay, next on the list here, let's go to Arkansas.
Woo pig!
Obviously coming off a brutal 2-10 season, but, you know, Chad Morris has hit the road, thank God, and we got Sam Pittman in here, and he's making all the right moves. Still, you know, it's a little too early to be having him a victory parade, like some of us may have been talking up this offseason, because we still got to see it, but I think clearly, I mean, they can't fall any further. So Arkansas, to me, has got to be a team on the rise with the job they've done hiring these coordinators, including the special teams coordinator, I thought was even a good hire. And, you know, there's plenty of people going to be joking about the Razorbacks coming off these last two dismal years. But the roster, in my opinion, is not nearly as bad as people that don't follow the SEC like we do understand how there's a lot of talent on this roster. You know, it's far from Alabama's roster we were just talking about, but a lot better than they've showed in recent seasons. So I think Arkansas, I wouldn't even be stunned if they make a bowl game this year. I'm not saying they will, but I think they're going to come a lot closer to making it than going them 2-10.
Absolutely. I think this is going to first off, I think they're on the rise as well. Obviously, last season was very, very disappointing. But, you know, when you look at that roster, it doesn't have – I mean, it does have holes, but it's not – I don't think it's as noticeable as it would – than it was last year. You know what I'm saying? I think you're going to see Trey Knox. I think he's going to move – I think Felipe Franks, I don't know if he's going to be the starter, but, he's a seasoned vet. He has been there. Rakeem Boyd, some of those. So the important spots you've got loaded up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at gaping holes, you think of that offensive line. Well, who better than Coach Pittman to coach him up? So I think this is the year. Obviously, Arkansas gets their first SEC win in a long time. And I think brighter days ahead for the Razorbacks.
All right, let's jump to Auburn next. Who?
Get ready, Toomer's Corner. Auburn's coming to roll you. Final score, Auburn 48, Alabama 45.
Went 9-4 last year, lost the Outback Bowl to Minnesota. Still trying to figure out how they lost that one. But I think for the Tigers, I got them holding steady. Now, I would say rising potentially if Bo Nix takes a big step, because we all know how important that quarterback position is in college football, and Bo Nix has got some real star potential. So if he takes that next step, I got no problem putting him in the rising category. But for now, holding steady with just their defensive losses. But, you know, I've said it on this show, I think Kevin Steele's the best defensive coordinator in the SEC. So it's not like I think they're going to take a huge step back there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Auburn is one of these teams that it just seems like every 2 to 3 years, they're in contention and in the running come November to win the SEC West. And they were kind of there last year nearly and lost to Georgia a lot. So that kind of did them in there. But I could see them being in the race towards the end of the tail end of this season, but I'm not predicting that. So that's kind of why I'm not saying rising, but I do think, you know, 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, any of those years they win the SEC West, even the entire SEC, not going to be surprised at all. So I'm going holding steady.
Yeah, man, I hate to keep saying everybody's on the rise, Mike, you know, but I'm kind of with you, the steady Eddie on this one. And, you know, my biggest obvious concern is the defense. You know, it's not going to be near as dominant as it was last year. That was one of the best units to come through that school in a long, long time. So obviously we're going to have a step back there, but I'm with you. If Bo takes that step forward and gets, I mean, he's got the talent there around him. I mean, you talk some of the best receivers in the league. Well, they're there. The Auburn Tigers has got plenty of talent and plenty of talent to go toe-to-toe with anybody in the SEC. So, I honestly always thought the West is going to be closer this year. I'm predicting like a four-headed monster here. And it wouldn't surprise me if Auburn is the winner when it's all said and done. So, even though I just talked about how good Alabama was, well, you think about one of those losses, it came to this team here. And I think Bo takes a step forward. I think the a lot of people do not like Coach Morris. Okay, me and you have said it many times. I don't think he's a great head coach, but I do think he's a good, if not great, offensive coordinator. And I think that's exactly what Coach Malzahn needs. He needs to take a step back. He needs to loosen the reins a little bit with somebody he can trust so that he can focus on the entire project, not just one side of the ball. And I think that shows on game day, man. So I've talked myself into it. I think Auburn's going to be on the rise, man.
All right, no, that's fine. That's your take, but let's jump on down to the other Tigers here in the West here. LSU.
Go Tigers.
15-0 national champions. Maybe the greatest season of all time. It's kind of hard to rise beyond that. I mean, unless you're talking best 2 years back-to-back. But I think, you know, you go back 2 years ago, they won 10 games. So you're talking 25 wins the last 2 years. I think I'm going to go holding steady here, given the fact that, you know, I want to see what they got. Miles Brennan, maybe if I knew he was going to be a dynamic quarterback, maybe I'm changing my mind there. But, you know, I don't think this was a fluke year. I think this is LSU under Ed Orgeron's here to stay. We just talked about the recruiting. They've always been loaded down there. It's just been a matter of, you know, utilizing those skill position players, and they finally have embraced that, and they're pushing forward with it, even with Joe Brady off to the NFL. So I got no issue saying LSU can compete for the West this year. They may even win it despite all their losses. So I'm going holding steady for the Tigers.
Mike, I'm going to have to take a step back. And the reason is we're coming off the most amazing season I've seen in a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Your expectations are an all-time high at LSU. So I think we're going to have a little bit of disappointment this season. You know, I mean, and one loss is disappointing. You know what I'm saying? I done told you it's a four-headed monster. They're included with it. But I just – you can't have 58 people go to the NFL draft and it not affect your team just a little. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like this team has a lot of talent, obviously. I've been on record saying Miles Brennan is going to be a great quarterback for the LSU Tigers. I think with all the change that they had, you got to think coordinators, man. We've got coordinators missing now. There's just so many factors that happened during this fantastic run last season. I think LSU is going to be humbled a little bit, come down. The film is out, Mike. You know, people know exactly what kind of offense LSU is running. And maybe the first year caught them off guard, but the second one, you know what I'm saying? They're going to know what they're about. There's going to be no surprises. The defense, I think, will be a little bit better. But with that style of offense, it doesn't really matter how great your defense is because it's all about the offense. And I just think the efficiency takes a little step back, mainly because of the line play.
All right. He's big Crimson Shane there.
I mean, you got to be realistic, Mike. I mean, I just watch. There's still LSU just put out two videos today with Joe Burrow. I mean, they are riding this thing, which they should. I mean, because I swear it's one of those teams that you're going to talk about 20 years from now. Do you remember when? Mm-hmm. So I get that. So, but just know those don't come often, and when they do, you got to ride it, but you got to get back to work. And I think LSU is another year away from again making noise in the SEC. But again, I'm going to stick to my guns, Mike. We got a four-headed monster. Wouldn't surprise me if LSU is one of those teams. It just I'm not ready to go on record saying that they're going to make another undefeated run.
All right. Let's jump next to Ole Miss.
Hotty-totty, Ole Miss.
Obviously, first year under Lane Kiffin, went 4-8 last year and haven't been to a bowl game in several years. A lot of that's due to sanctions and players leaving and all that. So, you know, given all the turmoil there in Oxford in the last couple of years, I think it's pretty easy to say this team's rising under Lane Kiffin. Now, recruiting, I don't think, is going quite as well as we anticipated when they hired Lane Kiffin, but I think it's far more important, obviously, what they do on the field, and I think it's going to be easier to sell this program once you start seeing some of these players like John Rhys Plumlee and Jerrion Ealy and maybe even Matt Corral and Elijah Moore, I think, is one of the most underrated receivers in the entire SEC. Once they get to showcase their skill in Lane Kiffin's system, I think that's going to be a lot more impressive, and it's going to pick up this recruiting. So, yes, Ole Miss was 4-8 last year, but they could have very easily been 6-6, maybe even 7-5. So you get a little bit better coaching because I think you got a better staff. And, you know, we saw what this thing can be under Hugh Freeze. They may have been skirting the rules, but hell, that's what Lane Kiffin is going to do, baby. So we know the potential is there. So I think the Ole Miss Rebels, they're looking up under Lane Kiffin. They're rising.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. And not so much because of the talent. I think this is going to have more to do with the scheduling. I think when you look at something we talked about in last week's podcast, you know, they're going to have one of the easier schedules coming up. God forbid nothing changes. And I think you're going to look back and say, man, Ole Miss did a lot better. People that didn't watch Ole Miss are going to say, you know, Lane Kiffin's back, and maybe that will help recruiting and everything, but I think it's going to have more to do with the scheduling. The players, I think they've got some talent, but they still, man, they've got some holes too, man. They got to fix. I don't know about these. I'm not sold on the coordinator hires that Ole Miss had down there, but you know, it seemed like that Ole Miss defense was really coming around there toward the end of last season. If they could build off that and give Lane a chance to do something with those weapons, then the more – okay, they're rising, Mike. I'm just thinking about it. I just played it through my head. They're on the rise. And
okay, how about staying in state here? Mississippi State. Obviously, the Pirate leading the ship there, Mike Leach, taking over a 6-7 program that lost to the Music City Bowl. And, you know, this is a difficult one for me, Shane, because we love Mike Leach, and we're fired up to see what his offense can do. He's an entertaining guy. But I think I'm going to actually say fallen for Mississippi State for a key reason here. Now, they could prove me wrong, but I just not seen enough from this Zach Arnett, the defensive coordinator coming over from San Diego State, running that 3-3-5 defense, because I think that was the hidden key. You know, everyone wants to talk about Dak Prescott, and boy, was he amazing. Best player in school history. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like for the vast majority of Dan Mullen's time there, they had a tough, physical defense and running game that, you know, really shorten games and you know, you win the turnover battle, you play tough, you play physical, you don't make mistakes. That's how you win in the SEC West. Now, of course, college football's changed even in that short span of time. So maybe you just forced it wide open and throw it all over the field. But I just don't know if Mississippi State, maybe Mike Leach is the difference maker here, but I just don't know with Alabama what they're doing with their receivers, what LSU's doing what Texas A&M's doing. You know, they're going to try to score 45, 50 points a game, and that's what Mississippi State's going to try to do. But if you're both doing that and one side has a clear advantage on defense, I just don't know how Mississippi State's going to, you know, get in all these shootouts and win a vast majority of them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just don't know if I like the direction of where that thing's headed. And maybe that has more to do with, you know, the highs that Dan Mullen took this program to than it does anything else. And we've already started. It only took Joe Moorhead 2 years before this thing to kind of start to careen off the path here. So can Mike Leach fix that in a hurry? I'm not sold on it. I sure am hoping for it. But for right now, I'm going to have to say fallen.
Yeah. What's your Twitter handle again?
Big Orange Balls.
Yeah, whatever. I hear what you're saying, Mike. And the concerns that I have is this roster isn't built for Mike. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This, I mean, that's, you got to realize you're changing a whole – I mean, the whole thing is just spinning on its head. The best player you've got on your team is Colin Hill. Yes, I think he's probably the, if not close to it, the best running back in the SEC. You know what I'm saying? But that's not Mike Leach. That's not his bread and butter, you know? I mean, think about it. When Mike left – the running back up there was tweeting out, thank God, you know, because he wanted some more action. So mm-hmm. I hope that Mike is smart enough. Coach the Pirate, I love him to death. I think he's going to be smart enough to get the talent, the ball. I'm worried about just some of the other weapons that they have. I'm like you, the defense. I'm a little worried about the defense, but how can you be that worried and then in the same breath talk about Coach Leach as being one of the best coaches in the country? So I think they don't move up this year. I don't think they're falling back. I think they're going to stay steady Eddie this season. They're going to be sitting on that bowl eligible line, I think. But I just think that Coach Leach is going to need a little bit more time than some of these other coaches have in the SEC.
How about Texas A&M under Jimbo Fisher, year three?
Giga Maggis.
$75 million man still trying to figure out what they're getting for that price tag. But maybe we find out this year. And, you know, based on the fact they went 8-5 last year, won the Texas Bowl, still looking for that signature win. Man, this is a tough one. I think I gotta go rising just because I think Texas A&M's gonna be so good this year. But you know, we've already started to see all the storylines this year. This is kind of like a make it break it year for Kellen Mond, and it seems that way for Jimbo Fisher as well. If they don't get it done here, man, I don't even know if they're gonna be holding steady. You know what I mean? So
right.
I'm putting so much pressure on the Aggies, but I think that has more to do with what I think they can do this year with the talent, with the schedule. They've got to be rising, and if they're not, then, man, they've got some real issues there in College Station.
I got you, buddy. But I want to ask you a question, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to play Georgia this year or Clemson?
No, sir.
Yeah, that's why I got them on the rise. I think I think that and the fact that I don't know. I'm buying in, Mike. I just think they were a little too young last year. I think they were just they weren't developed enough to keep up with that schedule that they had. That I'm talking juggernaut schedule they had last season. They started to drift away there at the end of the season. I think we're gonna have a different story. Like I said, this is one of my four-headed monsters. It wouldn't surprise me if they win. But I will say this: I'm along the same lines with you. If they can't get it done this year with that senior quarterback, with that amazing talent that he's got around him, with that defense, I just, if it, with the schedule, if it doesn't happen this year, Mike, Jimbo's going to have the hottest damn seat the following season. You know, I'm with you. I think they're on the rise. I think this is the year. It's, I don't want to say make or break, but I'm telling you, if they drop one of these stupid games, you know, if they get caught up with Arkansas like they did last year, or you know what I'm saying? Hey, if they play any of those games, I think we're going to be not looking for a new coach, but I think next year could be his final season.
Hey, if they don't take a step forward, we're going to be hearing more about some allegations to get him off the hook.
That's right, man. I mean, they got a ton of money, but they ain't going to just throw it around. They want to win championships, man. And, you know, one thing we were promised when Jimbo came back to the SEC is that this was the guy. He was it, man. He was the number one coach on everybody's board. And he has – I think he has improved this team every single season. Last year, you're disappointed, but, man, like I said, you know, you had Clemson, you had Georgia, you know, teams that were competing for championships, and he just wasn't able to get over that hurdle. But this season, he's got the roster to do it. So I think this – and one other thing, Mike, everybody didn't have spring, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everybody didn't get to do – I think that helped Texas A&M. Just because the continuity that they have returning, not just players but the coaching staff, I just think that that's not appreciated enough. And I think Texas A&M comes out of the gate harder than a lot of other teams do in the SEC because of it.
Well, speaking of continuity, let's jump over to the SEC East because that's what the Gators got returning next year. You know, I really want to say rising here. I think I will stick with rising just because I think the Gators are going to be so well or do so well next season. But I think they're borderline holding steady just given the fact they won 11 games. There's just not a ton of room to move up. And they're still not recruiting at that elite clip that they really need to do. And that's been obviously the issue with Dan Mullen his entire career. Good recruiter. Not an elite recruiter, and how far does that get you in the SEC? I think we're going to find out because we all know Georgia's got more talent than them. LSU, mm-hmm. I think, has got more talent than them. But, you know, if it's close, that coaching can put you over the top, and that's where the Gators are going to have to shine, and that's where continuity comes in and bringing back both your coordinators and stuff like that. So, very, very close to the border here with the Gators, but they really need to pick up in recruiting, in my opinion, if they're going to win the SEC, if they're going to win the college football playoff, because I don't know if they've got the talent to do that just yet. So I'm sticking with rising, but just by the slimmest of margins.
Yeah, I'm going to go rising as well, just because I think this is the season. It comes down to Georgia and Florida, buddy. And that game – I mean, that's going to be the most electric. That could be one of the most electric games we get to see all season, Mike. And just what he's been able to do with that team. Here you got a quarterback that a lot of people are saying are the best quarterback in the SEC. You got him returning. You know, it's there, man. All the pieces are there for a championship run for the Florida Gators. And I think Dan, what he lacks in recruiting, he makes up in coaching. You know, to take a backup like Trask and still win 11 games, that's amazing, dude. You don't – there's a lot of teams that would have crumbled when they lost their starting quarterback. So that just shows how prepared he is. No, I'm looking for the holes, man. I'm looking and I don't see them, Mike. I think this is the year for Florida. I think it's going to come down to the world's largest cocktail party, and the winner of that's going to be playing in the SEC championship.
All right, well, let's stay right there then. Let's jump over to Athens with the Georgia Bulldogs, obviously coming off a 12-2 season. Went to the SEC championship game but lost it, but rebounded with a nice performance there against Baylor in the Sugar Bowl. Got a win in the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, dog, sick 'em!
Now, there's all the pieces are in place for this to be a rising program, SEC winner, national championship winner, potentially. But I'm not ready to go there. I'm going to say holding steady for the Bulldogs. We've all seen the stats. Kirby Smart and Mark Richt, damn near identical records. First couple of years there at Georgia. That's not really why I'm saying holding steady, though. I'm saying it because we totally blew up and gone in a different direction with the offense, which I think was the right move. But it's always the right move in the offseason, Shane. And I don't care what any Georgia fan tells me. They were fired up about James Coley last year and getting rid of Jim Chaney. Now, yeah. James Coley's the worst coach of all time, and everyone knew that was a stupid hire, and Jake Fromm sucks, even though he's the only quarterback in SEC history to win three division championships his first 3 years, and a lot of that had to do with his arm. So it's not like this guy was garbage. I think I'd probably take him over Jamie Newman, as a senior quarterback, but that's where we're at right now in Athens, and they've got all the talent in the world to make a jump like LSU did last year, but it's going to be difficult. Obviously, no spring, limited offseason. Yeah. So can that be done immediately? They got the players in place. They've got knowledgeable coaching staff. So that's kind of why I'm saying holding steady, because, you know, I'm not suggesting this offense is going to blow up in their face, but, you know, we're talking college football here. This isn't the NFL, and this, I mean, it tends to happen. What happens if they go to Alabama and have a horrible performance? How does that affect them the rest of the year? So you just don't know how the psychology is going to come into play, the install is going to come into play. I'm not ready to say Georgia is a national championship contender until I see what this offense is capable of doing. Now, everything I said about the offense, completely opposite on the defensive side of the ball. This is probably going to be the best defensive team in the nation, which puts them in automatic contention for just about any prize. But in today's modern era of college football, you're not going to be holding, you know, Clemson and Ohio State and Alabama to, you know, 15 points or less. You know what I mean? You've got to be able to score 30, 40 points on those teams to win.
Absolutely, man. And I'm with you. I think this is going to be the best defense in the nation, and that's enough to get you to a national championship if you play it right. And my concern, obviously, is Jamie Newman. A lot of people have crowned him as the next best thing to walk through Athens, and I'm not ready to do that just yet. So I'm going to hold steady. I think that, you know, the receiving, obviously, George Pickens is going to be, I mean, he's going to have a breakout year, you know. One thing about Newman is he loves to throw the deep ball, and George loves to catch him. So I think that's going to be great. I think the running backs, three-headed monster as usual, they'll be fine there. They are replacing a lot there on the offensive line, a little bit of concern. But I need to see better play calling, and I need to see that Jamie can take the reins. And not just in these cupcake games, Mike. You know, I don't want to – I don't – that's – one thing I hope Kirby doesn't do is get too conservative. I hope that he just opens this damn thing up and get Jamie the practice that he'll need when he does get in that tough. I mean, because Alabama's what, week four, week five? I mean, it's
week three.
You know, week three, shit. You know, I mean, it ramps up real quick, Mike. You know, so you've got to have Jamie ready. The fact of the matter is, like I said, great defense, offense has got great potential, but it, unfortunately, the biggest question mark is at the most important position, and that's Jamie Newman at quarterback. So right now I'm going to say steady, but you got to remember, this is a team that competed in an SEC championship, so staying steady will give you that same opportunity, and winning the SEC championship will take you to the next round. So it's not a bad thing. I think Jamie's going to be a nice change of pace, and I hope it works out for him. Well, until they play Tennessee, of course.
All right, let's jump on down to Lexington next. Kentucky coming off an 8-5 season. Just won the Belk Bowl thanks to Lynn Bowden's heroics here. But, you know, I think clearly this is a program on the rise where – when Mark Stoops got there, making a bowl game was an achievement. Now we're talking New Year's six bowl games they've made, and they've even got a bowl winning streak here. So, my goodness, how things have changed. The recruiting has been elevated, and, you know, Kentucky fans are just getting pissed off. They're not getting mentioned among the SEC East contenders. So that should go to tell you how far they've come, and they deserve all those accolades and all that discussion. So, I mean, this is a pretty easy answer for me. Kentucky, I think, is going to be the deepest team Mark Stoops has ever had. May not get to that 10-win mark, but hell, if they do, it won't shock me. So I got to say Kentucky's on the rise.
Without a doubt, man. And it all starts with the Hogs. And I think they've got one of the best offensive lines in the country. And behind that, you've got probably the two coolest names at running back, A.J. Rose and Kavassier Smoke. You know what I'm saying? These guys are going to get a ton of action. I can't wait to see what Terry looks like. I've been watching, obviously, every little highlight video that they're sending out in practice. You know, he's looking good. He's looking quick. I'm just interested what product they're going to put on field. But if you look at what Kentucky's had the last four or five seasons, it doesn't matter. The coaches will get – Stoops will get to the right place. You know, he will get the right players in there. So I'm on the rise here. I think the defense also takes a step forward here. I'm kind of curious about the play calling, you know, because you can't just – you can't run Terry like you did Lynn last year, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have some more downfield passing, and I think that really could help out this Kentucky ball club. So I'm on the rise, Mike, without a doubt.
All right, well, let's jump to Missouri next.
M-I-Z-D-O-U!
Obviously, we got Eli Drinkwitz taking over for a 6-6 team here that was not eligible to go to the postseason due to some BS NCAA decision here, but the Tigers, they got a lot going for them. With the returning of defensive coordinator Ryan Walters, that defense played the best it had ever played under Barry Odom, in my opinion, during his head coaching tenure anyway. And then Eli Drinkwitz comes in with a ton of hype. But for me, you know, I got to say holding steady for now, just because we've only got the 1 year of Eli Drinkwitz as a head coach. So there's some mystery there. And while I do think his addition will really help that offense, I'm not completely sold that losing Barry Odom and just keeping Ryan Walters is going to make that defense get any better,
right,
or even hold steady. They may even take a step back. Not saying that's going to happen, but need to see it before I can make a final determination there. We don't know much about the starting quarterback, Sean Robinson, although I will say this. They've got, you know, they just wrapped up the Elite 11 finals up here, and Missouri had a quarterback up there that blew everyone up there away. Tyler Macon is his name, from East St. Louis there. He's the future under center at Missouri. So, hell, maybe I should just say rising for him, but I don't want to put it all on his shoulders like that. So, and, you know, one other thing, the only negative, and I don't even know how much of a negative this really is, but Eli Drinkwitz calling the plays. He's going to serve as his own offensive coordinator in only his second year as a head coach. Obviously, his first time as an SEC head coach. We've seen guys like Jeremy Pruitt can't really handle that. We've seen Kirby Smart can't really handle that. Nick Saban can't handle that. So can Eli Drinkwitz? He's a lot younger than a lot of those guys. Maybe he's got the energy and the enthusiasm to do it. But I wonder if that's, you know, maybe a bit too much of a burden on him. But, hell, he got here because of his play calling. So maybe he's got to ride with what he knows before he can trust someone else to call the offensive plays. But that's another slight question mark I have, and I think with all those combination of factors, I'm going to say holding steady for now.
Why you hate Missouri, Mike? I think, Mike, honestly, last year ended so bad. It was disappointment. I think that this year we're going in the right direction, so I'm going to say improving. And the reason is I don't know much about Eli, but when I think about some of the stuff I've read about him at North Carolina State, and when I read or when I watch the App State and South Carolina, you know, it's just little things like that makes me think it's a poor man's LSU, Mike, and we're going to have a totally different offense up there. And I think that can only help. So I'm going to go improvement, because I think the defense is going to get better. I mean, it's a senior led bunch, man. You know, they've been around for a while. I think they stay steady. You know, they fell apart a little bit toward the, you know, because a couple of injuries, but I think they'll be fine. And I think that this offense is going to get a little shot in the arm when Sean Robinson makes the field. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big fan of Larry Roundtree. He's shown flashes in the past. He can be an elite running back. So I think he's got all the pieces needed to surprise a few teams in the SEC. So I'm going to go on the rise with Mizzou.
All right. Let's.
Oh, and maybe it's the Hawaiian shirts, Mike, or the hot videos of him coming out and smoke. I don't know, but I'm buying in Eli, man. I'm excited to see what he's going to put on the field.
Yeah, his personality is certainly winning the day with me so far. All right, so let's go to the other Columbia, South Carolina. Coming off a 4-8 season, disastrous season, Will Muschamp. Seems like many of the fans are already ready to move on from Muschamp, but, you know, I got to be honest here. I got to say holding steady for the Gamecocks, and that's not to say that they're just going to be winning four games again, because, you know, there are plenty of selling points for Muschamp. I know we've all heard the stats, you know, most wins in his first 3 years, as no one's ever won as many as him. I don't think any South Carolina coach has went to three consecutive bowl games to start his career. So there are, you know, it's not all bad, but the issue there, obviously, to me, losing too many games that they got no business losing, like that Appalachian State game you referenced there, can hardly ever get over Kentucky. I think they've beaten Kentucky one time. They've never beaten Texas A&M since I don't think ever. I think they've only ever played since they joined the SEC. But these are some of the games they need to win. And obviously, they're not even competitive against Clemson. So I see why fans want them out. But at the same time, I think that defense is really starting to come around. I mean, we just had Javon Kinlaw go to the NFL. I think South Carolina's defensive line as a unit is going to be even better next year.
Mm-hmm.
They got two of the best corners in the SEC. I know Helinski didn't wow many people last year, but I think he's one of the better sophomore quarterbacks in the SEC. They just signed a monster at running back, Marshawn Lloyd. And now, of course, Muschamp said this about four or five times now, but now he's got the coordinator, offensive coordinator he wants. If it finally works out with Mike Bobo, South Carolina could be a team on the rise. But again, I gotta see it to believe it there with Mike Bobo. So I'm going to say holding steady, and that's not saying four wins, but if you look at his entire tenure there, his average wins is 6-7. So that's why I'm saying holding steady.
Oh, Mike, you know, I don't know what it is. I find a couple of nuggets, and I just want to build the team around it. You know, it's like I think Helinski gets better. I think we get a tremendous amount of improvement this year. Mainly because of health, man. Mm-hmm. You know, he was really struggling last year, but he was out there, man. He was trying to get the wins. He just couldn't get it. And then you look at Marshawn Lloyd. I just think Marshawn Lloyd is. I don't know if it's the hot videos or what, man. I just think that this is a freaking diamond in the rough. I think that this kid at the end of the season, we're going to say, is the best damn running back that we've seen since ... You know what I'm saying? He has the tangibles. He's not only lightning fast, but he's got great hands. He could be a huge asset to that offense. So, you know, so I say all that, and then I get all pumped up and I say, yeah, they're going to improve this year, you know, but then you got to think, what else do they have? You know, I think the defense is going to be okay. I'm with you. I think if coach is doing anything right, it's on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, there was times they did have some boneheaded mistakes, you know, and you could blame the coaching staff. So does that really improve? And then you look on the offense side, it's Shy Smith and who, you know, I think there's a huge drop off with talent after him. And Shy's done shown you that he cannot be dependable. Does he make an entire season if he's force fed the entire time? So I'm a little worried about that, but I'm going to say steady. And just because, like I said, I think Ryan takes a step forward. I think he makes some of these other players better. I think Marshawn takes a little pressure off of Ryan. I think the defense is going to hold their own. So I'm going to go steady, maybe a slight rise. And I'd love to see these two just – I'm telling you, man, I'm sold on this kid, this Lloyd kid. I don't know what it is. He may be the biggest bust ever, but I've already bought his jersey. Just kidding. I didn't do that. I'm not Kenny Chesney.
The last time I heard you get this excited about a running back, you were dead on with old Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So maybe you're on to another one.
Yeah, man. I wish he was wearing orange, though. Golly.
All right. Well, speaking of the orange, let's jump there. Let's go to Rocky Top. For Jeremy Pruitt's program, 8-5 last year, won the Gator Bowl. Lot to like there with his program, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. The quarterback's been holding them back. They got Jim Chaney returning for a second year, which a lot of people think that'll help steady that side of the ball. They really need it to improve if they're going to be a contender in the SEC East. But certainly seems like the recruiting's picked up. Seems like a lot of these hires Pruitt's hitting the nail on the head. We've kind of talked up about it all offseason, though. They've got to start better. They've got a tough game against Charlotte. You can mock that all you want, but I bet Charlotte beat the hell out of Georgia State. You know what I mean? So you got to be able to have his team ready to go week one. Got to be more competitive in some of these marquee SEC rivalries, but it's kind of hard to say anything other than Tennessee football power back on the rise.
Yeah, I'm on the rise too, Mike. And obviously, there's a lot of great things with this team. I just think the continuity at the offensive line, the add of Cade Mays is definitely going to help out tremendously. That's a huge front, man. And then you look at the running backs with Ty and Eric Gray. Eric Gray's another one of those I think is a breakout candidate. You know, he's got those swivel hips, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of those guys that takes a 5 yard to the, and the next thing you know, he's going 80 yards up the sideline. So this defense takes a step forward, and that's to say a lot because they did tremendous last year. That secondary is fantastic. Hearing Toa, I think Quavarius, you know, gets a little bit more involved this season. I like everything around it. The only concern, Mike, I have, and you know it, yep, where's the number two? Jarrett Garantano. And it's not that I don't like Jarrett, because like I've apologized to him publicly, but there's been some times last year, especially out of the gate last season, when you mentioned the Georgia State, which I'd like to not mention that team ever again. It took him a little while to find himself, and it was a weird dynamic. If you watched any of the Tennessee games, they didn't always want to start out with Jarrett toward the end. You know, is let's bring Brian in and see if he messes up, then we throw Jarrett in. I don't like that carousel. I think it worked at times last year. I'd like to just say, okay, this is our quarterback. Let's grow. So and why it's important is because you don't have erasers like Juwan Jennings, you know, that takes a 3 yard, you know, out, and then next thing you know, he's going 18 yards down the field. You know, Josh Palmer's great, but you know, these other receivers, he's got to build some chemistry. So if it ain't Jarrett, I hope it is Jarrett. Don't get me wrong. I hope it is, but if it ain't, I hope he's pulled quick, because I think Tennessee is definitely going to make some noise this year in the East.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, something to think about. There's one player in the SEC that his team may have really hurt their odds by not getting spring. If I had to pinpoint one, it may have been Harrison Bailey. But, you know, from everything I know about that kid, he's kind of groomed to step in and be ready to go. So, you know, obviously he's would have liked to get the spring, but he may have been a player that didn't necessarily have to have it to play immediately.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe now that everything we've been through this offseason, they're going to start a true freshman under center. But
right,
I think by the end of the season, it wouldn't be a surprise at all. Harrison Bailey, true freshman, is Tennessee's starting quarterback and playing well.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me, but I really think that this is going to be Garantano's gig, and I think Brian is. I mean, he's earned the right, you know. Until he got hurt, man, he had some hell of a ball. I mean, he almost beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was. I don't want to say we would have definitely won that game, but I think it would have been a lot closer. I think it would have came down to the wire. The fact that Tua got hurt, you know, So I'm not willing to say that Harrison's just going to come out and run this thing, but I think a lot of people are sleeping on Brian, and they forget just how great, you know, he was at times last year.
All right, last team on the docket here, of course, let's jump on down to Nashville.
Take it down.
Derek Mason, we already touched on him right now, and I mean, I think we got to say, I have to say, at least fallen here. We've lost all the quarterbacks on the roster. Make a switch at both coordinator positions. A terrible, terrible time to do that. You know, that's not on Mason. He didn't know what we were getting ourselves into this offseason. But, my goodness, I'd hate to be, you know, a couple of years into my tenure coming off a 3-win season, having to replace both my coordinators and my entire quarterback room. Man, it's just tough right now for Vanderbilt. And, I mean, unless you knock these coordinator pires out of the park, I don't know how it gets much better here year one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you too, man. And a lot of that has to do with just the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Here we've got a quarterback room. We have no idea how it's going to play out. That could work to their advantage early in the season. The defense, you know, yes, they've got a lot of talent coming back, but, you know, they looked pretty bad at times last year. So just how great is that talent? So I'm going to lean back just a little bit until we can see what kind of quarterback play we're going to have. Do you think it's going to be Seals? Or do you think Musa comes in?
I mean,
if you're gambling right now, what would you say?
I'd say Ken Seals, a true freshman. But again, is that what you want? I don't know if you want to be rolling out a true freshman out there. You know, I think you'd rather have the junior college guy, but he didn't even get in any time for their spring, really. So, yeah. So, I mean, just tough sledding there for the Commodores. It's going to be really difficult season. And hell, I've even heard on local radio here, they're saying, hey, if they cancel the season, do you think Derek Mason's privately happy? And I'm like, what? That's where we're at. Like, we're wishing away the season so that people don't know how bad we are. But that's kind of the local talk here.
Yeah, don't sleep on them, though. You know, Mike, I mean, it's Vanderbilt always can creep up and get you, you know, get one of those teams. I was watching some highlights. I was trying to do this countdown thing, you know, and I stumbled across that one. Dan's first year there at Florida, you know. I mean, that damn thing came to the wire. They're fighting on the sidelines, you know. It's just this may be a team that's pushed all the way down, kind of like that Kentucky feel of last year, you know, just the world's against us. And maybe Coach Mason can rally and get some sort of something out of them. We've got a quarterback. We don't even know the quarterback play, but who knows? It may be exactly what they need. We don't know if Mason's going to be the coach, but maybe these new coordinator hires are exactly what Vanderbilt needed. So I'm not, you know, I'm leaning a little closer to neutral than I am falling back, but I just given the uncertainties, I'm just not, I just can't say it right now, man. It'd be one thing if we could have watched some spring game, you know?
All right, Shane. Well, I think we went long enough on this one. We quite a while here, but hey, we got to touch on all 14 teams. So anytime we can do that, get pretty fired up to talk some SEC football and give each and every fan base some respect. But you got anything else before we hop off here?
No, man. We're going to do a little bit. Reviews later this week. So if you got yourself an iPhone, we got a ton of them coming in, Mike. You must be mailing a ton of koozies because it seems like every time I get on there, we've got a few more added. That helps us out a lot, guys. If you got an iPhone or any Apple product, you can jump on there on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We'll be sure to read those. And if you screenshot and send it to thatsecpodcast@gmail.com with your address and which koozie color you like, Mike would send them to you, and we'll be sure to read them on the line here.
Yeah, that's our way of saying thanks for going that little extra step. We do appreciate each and every one of you. And I appreciate you, Shane, for hopping on the show here, spieling some SEC football. And I think that's going to do it for this one. I'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols. Just dropped my phone. Brand new phone. I got it. It's probably shattered down there. That's great.